Today is Saturday, the 9th of December, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 111th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. To our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, representing Nisaranamane Forest Monastery, joining into today's session. And we would like to welcome Bhante with great respect on behalf of all of us. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook. We will commence our program with an in-session practice to help you out, guided by Venerable Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk, which is a continuation from last week's topic, and then we will move on to the question and answer session. Then, if time permits, we will allow for verbal questions or statements from the participants in Zoom. After that, we will wrap up the program. So, to commence things, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to start off with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Good day, everyone. Today, we can do a small activity related to our topic. For this, you need to gather a piece of paper and a pen. So, we'll give you a few minutes to gather the stuff. When you are ready, you can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. Okay, it appears like most of you are ready. So we'll start today's activity. Remember, the topic is a continuation from last time, which is about relationships. Detachment is important in relationships. That's our topic. For today's activity, let me share something that I heard yesterday. There was this yogi who came for a few days of meditation, residential retreat. And this yogi was saying that his family is worried when he is not home. During these few days, they might be worrying whether our father had enough to eat, whether he is okay, all these wandering thoughts, right? So he's saying his family members are worrying, thinking about him all the time when he is not home. That was his experience. And related to that same idea, he is also worried about the family members, whether they are safe, whether they have everything done. So that way, he too is worrying about his family members, right? So when they are a few days apart, this happens. He is here for meditation. He is here for a retreat, but he is saying that my mind goes to the family members. My mind goes to the home. Right? So that's his experience. Now you can see they are very much attached to each other. And that way it is creating trouble in their mind. Okay? Now I want you to reflect upon your life and see what are such situations in your life. What are such attachments in your life? Maybe you are attached to your parents. Maybe you are attached to your children. You think of them all the time. You worry about them. Even when you are at home, at work, you may worry about them, whether they are safe, whether they are okay. Sometimes you call them frequently to make sure that they are okay. So I want you to think of such attachments in your own life and just make few notes about them. So the idea of the activity is to reflect upon your own life and see what are such attachments in your own life, and you can make some notes. So we'll be taking about 5 to 10 minutes to take some notes after reflecting on your own life. I hope the idea is clear. This is about attachments to people in your own life. to add few more ideas. Maybe some of the worries are future fears. What happens if this happens? Right? What will I do? How will they survive? So all those things might be there. Future fears are there. Then past wounds might be there. You think about those issues, those problems all the time. Things that happened, something like that. Then of course, currently you are thinking all the time, worrying all the time about your children or about your spouse, something like that. So I hope you get the idea. This is basically about the relationships and the issues that are created due to strong attachments. Okay, I think that time should be enough to write few notes after your own reflection. Now, these things we see as per our current awareness. Maybe there are deeper attachments that we don't see, right? So these things according to our current awareness, current experience. But when you go through certain incidents, maybe in future, you might realize there are deeper attachments than this. There are different attachments than this, right? So that we can see when we go through those experiences, but these things are according to our current awareness, current knowledge about ourselves. Okay, now if you feel like sharing some of those things that you wrote, we can take few minutes. Not sure whether you'd feel comfortable sharing. If you are, we can take some time to share with the group. Nadi.
Yeah, that's right, Andy. Yeah, well, I know you're after me. yeah, I'm happy to share with my previous experiences and also sometimes what I go through in a few instances. The first one was way back in a long time ago. My mother was hospitalized with a small chest pain. Even though for her it is a small chest pain, for us, for her kids, it's a big pain. But I was not close to her. It keep, you know, kept worrying me, her condition and what will be the, you know, what come next. Even though, you know, doctors can diagnose with what the cause of the, you know, the chest pain. The, all those thoughts actually worried me. And the other one was the, I still remember my older daughter, the first time she was put into her own room. But in the middle of the night, we were thinking about can she cope with, you know, by being herself. Somewhere around, you know, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, something, you know, just hit my mind, and straight away I, you know, ran into her room. But she was sleeping fine, only to, you know, find out it might be a dream or something like a mind, what you call the thing, you know, struck me. But yes, that's the first, you know, kind of a attachment, the reflection of the attachment to my mother and my daughter. And then the other one was my own experiences of about the body. You know, sometimes the things I did as a young stag, I couldn't do it. Could do it any longer because I feel a lot of, you know, pain in the body. Then the thought, the body, the feeble body, never going to get better. But with the reflection on or the skill I gained through my mindfulness, immensely helpful for, you know, get or be content with it. Yeah, that's pretty much my reflection on it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, as you can see, some of these attachments we only realize when we go through such incidents. The one you mentioned about your mother, you might not feel it when things are okay. But when suddenly something happens, you feel this extreme difficulty in you. She is getting a slight chest pain, you are getting a heart attack, right? So that's how it is, right? So these things, we might have to go through such incidents, and then only we realize how attached I am. That's one thing. And as you mentioned, the last one is very nice, that your own attachment towards your body, the youth and playing cricket, right? That's the difficulty. So that's how it is. We think that the health will last, strength will last, but suddenly we realize that we are not young anymore, right? Maybe due to an injury or maybe due to some other experience, you realize So these days I am also wondering, maybe the old age is upon me. And I too feel some difficulty in my body. I'm wondering what is happening. So maybe the signs of old age, who knows, right? It says that old age is a, you know, never-ending tiredness.
Yeah.
No matter how much
yeah.
you sleep, you can't
yeah.
get rid of it,
yeah.
right? So you have to get old and see. That's the idea. Okay, thank you for sharing. We'll see. Hiranti is there.
Thank you, Bhante, Tiruan Sarnai. My concerns are with my husband. He has got some habits, really. He's not very responsible, really. That's what I think. Whenever I go somewhere or I leave him there, and he doesn't worry about the house shows, if there are any clothes outside or if the windows are open, doors are open, he just leaves them as it is. He can't get up from his seat. And also when he goes out shopping, if I send him to buy something, he'll buy so many things what he likes. So, so it's a bit of a problem. And to leave him alone at home, when he sits somewhere, he doesn't get up from there to look into anything. So he's very relaxed and no responsibilities. And if you are going out, I'll have to make sure the keys, the, you know, car keys, everything he has taken, his bus pass, everything. But he just goes out. And when I ask him, he says, yes, yes, I have got everything. But when you ask him on the way or somewhere, he says, oh, I forgot. But he doesn't like any comments about it, to learn for the rest. And I have written notes, 5 things he needs to take out when he goes out. But he never looks at it. But he's very, very relaxed. And he goes on life without any problem. So therefore, I'm a bit reluctant to, I worry, I'm reluctant to leave him. And I would love to go on a holiday and forget about this whole place I'm in and to be happy. But that doesn't happen the sooner I get out of the house, unless there is the responsible person I leave at home. He just prospers in his, he's very happy if I'm out because he thinks I'm a pain. Pain for nothing and worries. He seems to think, even though he does 10 mistakes, he's not at all. So I don't know what to do, really, and I worry about it. With the meditation as well, it doesn't seem to ease off. I mean, it has eased off, thinking about Dhamma, but then again, it never ends, really. You see, it's not full relaxation for me. So those are the, in brief, what I feel.
Okay, so basically your attachments are about his detachments, right?
Yes, yes.
That's the thing. He doesn't care, so you worry about that, right? So this is how our lives are, right? So these are good experiences, right? Although no matter how much you try to correct him, he won't change. This is life. This is the very reality. So you have to find your own solution. Maybe let him do his thing for a few months and, you know, go for a residential retreat or something. If you do that, yeah, then within a few months, he might become a better person or somebody else, you know. He might be responsible for his own things. Now, since you are there to take care of everything, it's, you know, easy going, right? So basically, he might be a better meditator because he doesn't care about those things. But your worries are basically about his detachments. So that's a good reflection on your own life. And thank you for sharing. Sonali, yes. Samanti, sorry.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. I mean, for me, there was only one thing I wrote, Bhante. It's the usual thing, my parents. I'm just really attached to my parents, and even recently, you know, my dad was in hospital for pneumonia and COVID just last week, just came back this week and I've been caring for him and I thought I was going to lose him. And then I would start imagining what it would be like to life without him. And this is him, you know, just contemplating the process of, you know, impermanence in everyone. And I'm not different from anyone else. It happens to everyone. They've lost their parents as well. So that's all I had in my list. And I'm just wondering, why am I attached to them? And I was just thinking, simply because they've been so good to me, and I'm here because of them and what they have given to me. I think that's what it is. And I was thinking, if my parents were horrible and nasty to me, if I had some parents, would I be attached? Or how it would be? So this is part of its conditioning. But yeah, so I'm just thinking of ways how I can deal with the inevitable now. And that's all I had in my list. I wasn't worried about anything else.
Okay, right. So that's a good reflection. Now you worry about your parents, and that incident made you think about the times when they might not be there, right? So that way of thinking is good. You know, these things, anyway, we have to go through them. One day, that reality will be there. So when it comes, you shouldn't be blindsided. Instead, you know that this is coming. That separation will be there one day. And when it comes, that type of a reflection, that type of a thinking ahead might help. It might help a little, but of course, still, it will be difficult, no matter how much you think about it. Still, it will be difficult, right? So, such experiences, you have to somehow go through. Another point you made is that if they were horrible to you, you might not be attached to them. But still, a different kind of attachment would be there. That's my guess, right? Especially if you think about the people with horrible parents. They have the anger towards the parents, right? And they always think about that anger. And it is a bigger wound than this one, I might say, right? So always some form of an attachment is there, whether your parents are good to you, whether they are bad to you, it doesn't matter, right? So this is our own reality. We should meditate, we should reflect upon them more and more to see it more clearly. Right. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Seems like... okay, Panchani. Yes.
Vasarai Panthe. I just wanted to say that I'm very reluctant to say I don't have attachments, because I realize it's not something I can't get rid of these things. Just being aware that I have attachments is the only thing that I can do, because I didn't realize I had so much attachments to my husband until he went. But now they just come and go. So when they arise, I just think worrying about them is just so difficult. So I just want to silence my mind instead. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, I agree. Now, you can't say that there are no attachments. You can say that attachments are there, being conscious about them. That's the way. And maybe you were not there initially. During the initial discussion, we mentioned that we only realize our deeper attachments when such incidents happen. Without them, we might not be realize them. We might say that we are not attached. But when we go through such incidents only, we realize how attached I am to this person, right? So that those experiences, although they are horrible, although they are painful, going through them give us insights into our own life, into our own attachments, right? So thank you for sharing. That's the way. We might not be able to get rid of these attachments, but we can be conscious about them. Now, since all of you shared, let me share the points that I made. Parents, that's one thing. that certain kind of attachment that I have, wondering how the future will be and how I can manage that. That's one thing. Then another thing is there from the past. That's about how certain relationships ended. I always wonder whether there could be a better ending to such relationships. But what happened, it happened, right? So that is how things are. So those are the two things from my list. I think with that, if nobody else is there, we can move forward, I guess. Namantha.
Yes, Bhante. Much thanks to Bhante for guiding us through that session. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness scheduled on the topic of detachment, which is a continuation from last week's talk. So I would like to invite Venerable Bhante again to commence the talk on the mindfulness topic for today. Over to Bhante again. Thank you.
Okay, everyone. So we'll take some time to discuss further on the same topic that we have. Last week also we discussed. Today I would like to go into a different direction using the same topic. Now, when we have relationships in our life, either it's a romantic relationship or some other kind of relationship, we are always expecting them to be perfect, right? With the endings also, we think that they'll be perfect, right? That way, we think about our relationships. That's how we want them to be. But in reality, that's not how it is. The reality is always harsh. The reality is always with unexpected things. So sometimes we might have to go through certain breakups in our life. Sometimes people might run away. Sometimes they might divorce us. Sometimes they might die, right? Sometimes they might cheat, right? So these things happen. Although we want these relationships to be perfect, in reality, these things happen. These things happen. So when such things happen, it's natural that you start worrying, suffering about these incidents, about these things. Why did this happen? You might wonder. If I could prevent it, you might wonder. So that way you are worrying, that way you are thinking again and again about these incidents. In a way, we expect our relationships to be perfect, but in reality, it is not so, right? So that's what creates the suffering. There's this gap between the expectations and reality, and that gap is creating suffering in our mind. So when it comes to such things, we have strong attachments towards these people. Let it be your family members, maybe your friends. We have strong attachments. With those attachments, when you go through such difficulties, you realize that you are experiencing extreme levels of suffering, right? So that's natural. You are experiencing extreme levels of suffering. You wonder whether I was attached to this person so much. How this much is suffering arising from this incident, right? But they are happening, it is happening. So when such incidents happen, you realize how attached you were and how you were expecting things to end in a different way, right? So this way, it's natural that we worry. It's natural that we expect things to be different. But in reality, that is not happening. People will be people. You know, they will be people. They won't change. They have their own way of behaving. So when it comes to other people's behaviors, when it comes to things that happen in reality, you have no control. Some of the relationships, you might try to, you know, teach them. You might try to tell them. You might try to correct them. But they accept for a short period. They listen for a short period. But in long run, they will be always the same people. Right? So this is how things are. In a way, they are telling us something. They are teaching us something. If we are ready to listen. That's the very idea. We should be ready to listen to these teachings that they are giving us. We should be ready to listen to their these teachings that the nature is teaching us. Right? So that awareness, that openness is important. Sometime back, maybe probably a week ago, I went to this retreat. It was a retreat for parents, primary grade parents. It was in a school. So we went about 120 or so parents were there, mostly housewives, right? So they were there for a few hours in the school for meditation, for this type of a session. So I asked them how their day is, how they spend their time in usually. So most of them are saying, majority of the time they'll spend doing housework. Majority of their lives are spent in a kitchen. This is how their lives are, right? So that's how they live their life. They are really busy trying to do so many things, trying to, you know, do good for children, trying to maintain a household. All these things they are doing. They work for so many hours. So they are saying basically, my entire life is spent doing housework. My entire life is spent in a kitchen. Right? So that's how they feel. That's how they are. So they were new to meditation. They were beginners, newcomers to meditation. So I told them, today we are not going to do much. It's not about doing much. Instead, we are going to appreciate that we are not in a kitchen today. We are going to appreciate that we don't have to do housework today. That's what we are going to do. Right? So for a few hours, you are released from your usual schedule and you can appreciate that freedom. Being present in the present moment, appreciating this freedom for a few hours. Walk in a comfortable manner, appreciating that freedom. Sit in a comfortable manner, appreciating the present moment. So that was the idea given to them. For these few hours, you can, you know, free your mind from all these tasks and try to appreciate that freedom. You have been doing so many things for so long, spending time in a kitchen and doing housework. Can you appreciate doing nothing? Can you appreciate this freedom for a few hours? So that was the idea. Even when we do our walking meditation, when we do our sitting meditation, in a way we are appreciating doing nothing. We don't do much. We just walk for the sake of walking and we try to be with it. We just sit for the sake of sitting. And we try to be with it. That's what we are doing. That's what we are doing, right? So when we do that type of activity, then only we realize our attachments. Then only we realize our thoughts. Some of the people might say that when I sit, when I walk, my family members, they are coming to my mind. That's what that yogi was saying. The person I mentioned in the beginning of the program, he was saying, when I sit, when I walk, I worry about my family. That's how my mind works. That's what I do while in a meditation center. while in a monastery, he's thinking about his family, whether they are okay, whether they are safe, whether they have done everything all right. So that's how the mind works. In a way, when we meditate only, we realize how much attached we are to certain people, how much attached we are to certain things, right? So that very consciousness is important. Otherwise, we will be blindsided. And when we face death only, we realize how attached we are. That might be too late. So in a way, the meditators, in a way, if you are conscious, then you realize what my thoughts are about. They are about my family. They are about future fears. They are about past incidents. So that way, it is important to be conscious about these things. That is the very idea of the practice. Don't try to get rid of these attachments. You can't suppress them and get rid of them. That is not possible. That is not the way. Some people, they think that suppressing them will get rid of them. Right? So that's how most people think. They think if you suppress these thoughts enough, they'll vanish, they'll disappear. No, they'll be suppressed for a while, but underneath they are always there. So in a way, we are not trying to get rid of these attachments. Instead, we try to be conscious about them. Being conscious is the way. Being conscious about our own attachments. Knowing that I am having these attachments. Knowing that I am having these fears about future. Knowing that I am having these wounds about the past. That very knowing is important. That very knowing is the only safety that we have. In a way, you know that you are attached. Now, there was this person from Greek. He was there. He came few days ago. And he was sharing his own meditation experience. He's saying, my ex-girlfriend, I am not angry about her. I have forgiven her. But in my meditation, she comes to my mind all the time. The incidents are replayed in my mind again and again. So this person is saying, I have forgiven her. I have no anger towards her. But still, this is there in my meditation. So I told him, you haven't forgiven her. That's why it is there. Otherwise, if you have forgiven, if true forgiveness is there, then these thoughts won't come. Right? So in meditation, you realize, I'm still attached to my ex-girlfriend. I'm still having aversion towards her. I'm still having wounds about the things that happened. That very realization is the important thing. That very consciousness is the important thing. Otherwise, we think that on the surface, we have forgiven this person. But on the surface, we think we have no anger towards this person. But in reality, there are deeper attachments, deeper bonds in the depth of our minds. So that way, in a way, the meditation will allow you to be more conscious of the things that are there. Sometimes your worries come to your mind. You worry about certain people. You know, he's not behaving the way I want. They are not doing the things I want. All those worries are there. So in a way, those worries are trying to teach you. They are teaching you that these relationships, they are not perfect. They are teaching you that the attachment is not healthy. Right? So those teachings, if our mind is open, if we have consciousness, then we'll be ready to hear those teachings. So that's the very idea. You can have certain relationships in your life, but having extremely needy attachments towards them, it's not healthy. it will create extreme levels of suffering. That's the very thing. So you have to be conscious about these things. Know that you are attached at least. That way you are not blindsided. That way you are not blindsided. You'll know that you at least have these attachments. Some people in your life, they might expect certain things from you. Maybe the worldly people, they expect us to be attached. They expect us to cry when they are sad. They expect us to get angry when something happened to them. They expect us to panic when things are not right. So those expectations are there. That's another side of our relationships. You might not be strongly attached, but the other person, they are not comfortable with it. They want you to be extremely attached. They want you to cry. They want you to get angry. They want you to panic. In a way, the world is expecting us to behave in a certain way. That's why these relationships, they are not healthy. Right? They expect us to be this way. They expect us to cry. When somebody die, the world expects us to cry for them. Right? Most of the people, they are not crying because of a real feeling. Instead, they think that they are supposed to cry. Then something happened, they are supposed to cry. Crying is the way to express that they are attached to this person. Right? So those are worldly thoughts. That's why the human-human relationships, sometimes they are not healthy. Maybe a dog might be a healthy attachment, you know. When you have a pet dog, when you don't think about them, they are all the same. You don't think about them for 10 days, and the 11th day you go and pet them, still they are the same dog, right? That's how it is. You don't go home for a month. Longer you are not present, more excited the dog will be, right? But when it comes to your family members, if you don't think about them, they are not happy. If you don't go home for a day, then they might worry a lot. They might even call the police, right? So that's how it is. In a way, the pets are much better because they have less expectations from us. But this is the life that we are living. So in a way, we have to be more and more conscious about these things. That consciousness is important. We know that these things are happening. We are not happy about them. Sometimes we feel aversion due to the things that happen. Sometimes we feel angry due to the things that other people do. These things are there. So you have to be more conscious. Don't try to, you know, punish them. Punishing other people, it won't work. Sometimes unconsciously we are punishing them for not being there, for doing certain things. But it's not how it is. It's not helping, right? So punishing, reacting, those things are not helping. Being stupid in these relationships, it's not helping. Instead, we have to be more open-minded. Being more open-minded, if you know the practice, if you are conscious about these things, in a way, these incidents, in a way, these people, they are teaching us. They are teaching us a lesson. They are not doing the things that you like. They are not behaving in the way that you expect. But they are teaching you. They are teaching you that this attachment is not healthy. That's what they are teaching. Right? So if you have to be ready, you have to be open and listen to that teaching. If you have that openness, then whatever happens in these relationships, it will be a teaching for you. it'll be an opportunity for you to practice. Sometimes certain things that happen or the way people behave, it is showing us how much attached we are, how much needy these relationships are, how much of suffering they can create, right? So those things are good teachings for us. We know that we are attached so much. We know that this can create so much suffering. We know that it is so hurtful when such things happen. So in a way, they are opening your eyes. In a way, they are allowing you to wake up from your sleep, the sleep of ignorance. In a way, they are showing us the light. They are showing us the light. They are telling what reality is. So you have to take those opportunities as teaching sessions. When certain incidents happen, I know it will be extremely difficult, but still consider it's a teaching session. For a few days, for a few weeks, I'll go through this training, I'll go through this session, and I'll practice, I'll meditate, I'll see how much attached I am. That very reflection, that very meditation is important. When you go through that phase, coming out of it, you realize I have much more insight into my own life. Right? So that way, you have to take these opportunities. Of course, they are extreme. They create extreme levels of suffering. But that same fragile connections, they are telling us how much attached we are, how much suffering these things can create. So that way, we try to practice, we try to get more and more light into our own mind, into our own practice. So if you take these opportunities to practice, then these are the best opportunities. When you encounter with a stranger, although you might feel difficulty for a while, that's not the real attachments. It's just an encounter, another incident. But when it comes to your family members, when it comes to your close friends, you think of them all the time. Those are the real attachments. You worry about them all the time. Majority of your attention goes to thinking about them, worrying about them. So in a way, if you are more conscious, you realize this is not healthy. This is not healthy. You don't have to wait till your deathbed to realize this. Instead, it's much more important, it's much better to realize it beforehand. Otherwise, you'll be blindsided till the very end. So when such incidents happen, in a way, it's a training session. It's an opportunity for you to learn. Consider those opportunities as training sessions. Consider them as meditation sessions. And you have to somehow survive, somehow go through them. Going through them, you will realize that I am so much attached to this person. That insight, that realization is very important. Otherwise, we'll be blindsided till the very end. So take these opportunities. They'll come. You don't have to go search for them. Naturally, they'll come. Naturally, they'll appear. So when such incidents come, when people behave in certain ways, you have to take that opportunity. Take that opportunity as a training session. Take that opportunity to meditate and go through it. Go through it. Reflect upon your own thoughts. Reflect upon your own suffering. That reflection will allow you to have more and more insight into yourself, right? So that's the idea. That way, this is an important part of meditation. This is about relationships, close relationships in your life. When it comes to attachments, this is where we are caught. This is where we are hooked. So you have to make sure you have a proper awareness about these things. At least know that you are attached. At least know that you are having worries about these people. At least know that you are thinking about them all the time. That very knowing is important. That's the idea of this session. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante for an excellent description on the issue of attachment. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up. I would like to invite Sonali to start the question and answer session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bhante. As you can see, for the beginners, Nisaran Vanya has produced two videos as guidance. You can use these videos once you watch the one about mindful walking and the other one is about mindful sitting. Once you set aside some time to watch these, start practicing any amount of time actually to begin with, and then gradually start increasing it. An hour for each of them is what we recommend. Once you practice and have your own experience, you could then send your reports to us for some guidance. We will, all the details have been put in the chat session now as to how you could send these reports to us. You can send it via the Google form. The link is in the chat session. Or via email, beginnersnv@gmail.com. We will then present them to Bhante for his guidance and his feedback, and you could then improve your meditation on from there. If anyone wants any details of these or how to continue practice, or if anyone has asked you these, please let us know. We can send you these via email as well. And we will move on to the reports. We have only received one report today, and that's via email. We've got no reports via the Google form. I will start with that report. Sitting meditation. Watching breath as primary object. In-breaths were noted to be cool and out-breaths warmer on left nostril. Breath broke up, disappeared, and reappeared, more prominent on other nostril but very faint. This happened in cycles. Mind stayed with breath but distracted by thoughts for short periods. Waves of cold sensation passing through the body, sounds heard, not distracting, noted pain which changed in intensity and passed and reappeared in a different position. Sat for 45 minutes. Walking meditation. Noted left and right feet being placed, an uneven surface of road or pavement observed, and warmth of sun on body, changes in shift of weight and position of body observed when walking uphill, colder areas on parts of the feet and legs felt, walked 1 hour but mind wandered and came back to feet spontaneously. Daily mindfulness, trying to note the warmth, cold, touch, expansion and contraction of chest, in and out breath, posture and changes in it during the day. This happens on and off when doing daily chores. Mind now trying to recognize thoughts as they arise and pass, some throughout without proliferation, feelings noted as pleasant and unpleasant, A noting mind is less inclined to go to future and past. Noting reluctance of mind to do some things and disinterest in the social activities, but continuing with duties and obligations as usual. Mind calm and peaceful most of the time. End of report. Much gratitude, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, when we pay attention to your report, the initial part, everything is changing. Now, the breath is also changing. It is happening again and again. Thoughts are coming. Various other things are coming. So this is how the meditation is. This is what happens in meditation, right? So the things are changing, the breath is changing, the thoughts are there, the sounds are there, bodily expense are there, certain emotions are there. So that way, it's ever changing. It's a flux of things, ever changing flux of things, right? So that change is, you have to welcome that change. Most of the meditators, they don't like this change. They don't like when the breath is changing. That shows how attached they are in their own life. Even the breath, they don't like it when it is changing, right? But the true meditators, they accept this change, not only once. Again and again, 101 times, the same cycles are repeating. That repetitive cycles are there. That very awareness is important. You are conscious, you know that this is changing. You know that it goes through cycles, right? So that very awareness is important. Let me tell you something. More it is changing, more it is becoming a constant. How that will happen? The more it is changing, more it is becoming a constant, right? Initially, you thought that these things supposed to be this way. These things should be there like this. But actually, the change is the only constant, right? So that is what meditation is all about. You have to allow that change to happen again and again. 1001 times, allow these things to change. You are not doing the change. You are not responsible of the change. But instead, when it happens, you observe it. You welcome it. You keep your mind open to it. That's the very idea. So more you meditate, more rapidly, things will be changing. When that happens, you realize that the change is the only constant, right? So that is why I'm saying more it is changing, more it will be the constant, more it will be the same. How is it happening? You are accepting this change. That is the ultimate truth of this existence, right? Thoughts come and go. Sometimes attachments are there. Sometimes attachments are not there. Sometimes you are present, sometimes you wonder about the future. Sometimes you are present, sometimes your mind is in the past. Sometimes you feel like doing them, sometimes you don't feel like doing them, right? So this is the very nature of reality. We are not, you know, giving value to any state. When the things are good, we are not giving value to the good things. When things are bad, we are not giving value to the bad things. When the mind is present, we are not giving value to that as well. It's difficult to not give value to the present mind. Because in this session, we always talk about being present. But the true meditators, when they have matured in their practice, they don't worry whether the mind is present, it's fine. They don't give much value to it. When the mind is lost in thoughts, past, future, they don't give much value to it. When you feel like doing things, when you have full of energy, you don't give much value to it. When you have no energy, when you even can't get up, still you don't give value to them, right? This assigning value to certain situations, that's where we are getting caught. But now, whether it is good or bad, you don't assign any value to them. Whether you are full of energy or whether you have none, you don't give any value to it, right? Whether your mind is present or whether your mind is full of thoughts, lost in past future, you don't give any value to them. That's the true meditation. That's the true meditation. And you are heading that way. You are heading that way. Don't assign any value to any state, any situation, right? Just accept it in the present moment, open-minded, but know that next moment it will change. It will change. Sometimes your mind is worrying less. Sometimes again it goes to the old habits and starts worrying. Sometimes you have no lust. Sometimes again it goes to the usual habits and, you know, indulging in lust. This is how the mind is, right? Accepting that, being open to that, that's the very meditation that we are doing. Thank you for sharing. Continue your practice this way.
Thank you, Bhante. And thank you for the person who wrote the report as well. We don't actually have any more reports, so we can open it to any questions for anyone that anyone has. It could be regarding your practice or regarding the session today, the topic today, or any other questions that you'd have. Raise your Zoom hand and I will let you unmute yourself, or you could type the question if you don't want to talk. You could type the question as well. Oh, I can see your hand raised already. Hiranti, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. I just want to ask regarding the story I discussed with you. Am I attached to my husband or to the goods? I mean, to the things that I'm concerned. So wouldn't that normally, when this happens, when I'm away and think, oh, will he get the clothes? Will he shut the windows? Then in that case, I think, oh, well, if he doesn't do it, it's a matter of this, you know, the spoiling or, you know, destroying the house or something like that. And I said, it's everything is impermanent and I feel peaceful. So rather, I just want to verify that with you, please. Did I make the question clear, Bhante?
I think so. Now, there is no such thing as, you know, attached to a person outside. Instead, you are attached to your own thoughts, emotions. You are attached to your own perception of the world. Let it be somebody, let it be something. You always attach not to the outside object, but instead your own perception of them, your own thoughts, emotions about them, right? So that's where you're attached, right? There's no such thing as, you know, outside, attached to outside people. Instead, you always have your own perception of them. That's where you're attached. You always have your own thoughts, emotions about them. That's where you are attached, right? So you are talking about that attachment. So it is there, of course. You can't say that it's not there. That's why you are worrying so much. Maybe he is more detached. That's why I said he might be a much better meditator, because he doesn't care. Usually men, they don't care much. Right, women is, it's always about, you know, caring, worry. That's our nature. Two different creatures, what to do, right? So that's how it is. That's how the world functions. There's the role of the mother, there's the role of the father, right? Both are needed in this world. That's how the things are functioning. So you have to be more conscious about your own attachments and you have to be wise about them. I don't suggest getting rid of the attachments. Instead, what we are saying is that be conscious. That's what even Panchani suggested, that being conscious that I am attached, being conscious that I am worried so much, right? That very knowing is important. Now, let's say you reflect, you know that whatever happens, the house is impermanent, blah, blah, blah. But still you worry about in your mind. You can't let it happen, right? Otherwise, you let him do whatever he needs and just be there for a few days. Maybe go to a friend, take a vacation and see whether the house actually get in fire, you know, get burned down, right? That very experiment you can do, but still you are attached. Still you don't want to do it. Even the housewives I mentioned in that program, by the time around like 2 p.m., they got a rush. The entire day, they were trying to, you know, appreciate the freedom. The school ending time is around 1:30, 2 p.m. So by that time, they got into the usual rhythm. And, you know, rushing with their children, they went home. Right? So that's how the life is. Let's say you are free. Still, you don't appreciate the freedom. You feel like that prison is much more comfortable. That's why certain creatures, when the animals, let's say, when you release them into the wild, they become afraid and they get into the cage again. Have you seen such videos? Right? When they are released into the wild, but they are afraid of the unknown, the forest, and they get into the cages again. That's how we behave most of the time. Even those housewives in that program, the parents, the mothers, towards the end of the program, they got panicked. They got this rush. And with their children, they went to their comfortable homes to start their usual way of working. The kitchen work, the housework, right? So that's how the reality is. We don't appreciate this freedom. Instead, we prefer that prison because it's much more comfortable. Comfort zone is there. We prefer being caught than being free. We are afraid of the unknown. We are usually comfortable in the known area, the cage. Unknown is more like the forest. It has its own dangers. It has its own fears. So we feel staying in the cage is much better. Even in the movie Matrix, the same analogy was there. They knew that this is fake. But some people, they got frustrated. They got bored with the reality. And they went to the Matrix. They went to the illusion. Right? Knowing that the reality is not this, still they feel comfortable living in the illusion. That's how we are. That's how we are. When you meditate, it's so boring. When you meditate, it's so frustrating. You feel like watching TV. You feel like going on a picnic. Right? So that's the illusion. Reality is boring. Reality we are not appreciating. Soon after the program, the housewives rush to the home to start their usual work. Right? So that's how it is. So be conscious, be wise about your attachments. That's what I would say.
Thank you, Bhante, Nirwan Sanai.
Thank you for sharing. We've got one more hand. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante. I was just wondering, Bhante, now, so Bhante mentioned, you were talking about being aware of the attachment and just simply knowing what the attachment is. But I was just thinking how we can reduce the attachment the reason. And in my way, I was just thinking, why am I attached so much to my parents? And when Bhante was talking, the thought of, I just thought it was just me. I think I'm attached to my own self. I haven't actually seen that everything is all these relationships. It's just a process. And it's all about me, how I feel, and even my perception. I mean, I don't even, in a sort of scenario, I was just thinking, I've just been told these are my parents. If I was just thinking, you know, how do I really know they're my parents? What if someone comes and just tells me, oh, Samantha, your real parents are in Sri Lanka. You're being adopted. And I was just thinking, oh, how would I feel about that? Whether does nature have this relationship, you know, of the natural, you know, mother and the father, that sort of thing. And I was just thinking, you know, all these silly ideas were coming into my head just to sort of like, try to sort of like, to see this concept of attachment, how it works. And, so I was just thinking how I would deal with it. And maybe am I just thinking too much and I just need to sit on the cushion and meditate more and take each step little by little and think, you know. But the underlying issue is really me. I think I'm the problem, my sense of self. I think that's a big one, though. That's my question, Bhante. How to deal with attachment, basically, lessen the attachment.
In a way, it's good to, you know, reflect upon these big questions of life, you know, big issues of life. It's good to reflect upon them. That will lead people towards the practice, right? Most of the people, they don't even have time to reflect upon them. Death is one thing, right? They don't have time to reflect upon their own death. The death is approaching, right? You can say, in a way, it's similar to say, you are living equals to you are dying. Both are accurate. We can say we are living, but it's even more accurate to say we are dying. Every day, every moment, we are dying, right? That's the very first birthday gift. Once you are born, death is confirmed, right? So that's how life is. But it's good to reflect upon these big questions. Death of your life, death of your loved ones, right? These things everybody has to go through. So these reflections will lead us towards the practice. Now, when you reflect upon them, you'll get into a mess. The same mess where you are in. How to get rid of this attachment? What way to think? If these two are not my biological parents, then am I still attached to them? Let's say somebody come and tell you that they are not your biological parents. They live in Sri Lanka. Still, the next day, you'll be taking them to the hospital. You'll be worrying the same, right? So that's how it is. It's, in a way, it's, you know, confusing. In a way, there is sarcasm behind it, right? But still, we are caught. No matter how much we think, no matter what way we think, still we are caught. That's what I wanted to mention, even that program, those housewives, they were free for a few hours. Towards the end of the program, they got into a rush. They went back to their usual life. The worry, never-ending housework, right? So that's how we are. That's how we are, right? So how to reduce attachments might not be the correct question. Trying to reduce attachment won't work. Trying to reduce them will make them even more powerful. Right? So that's how the mind works. When you try to get rid of something, that very process will give it more power. Okay, so you have to be conscious. Don't try to get rid of them. Be conscious. Now, with that recent incident, it is triggered and you have enough consciousness about it. What I suggest is that continue this consciousness, knowing that I am so attached to these people. Don't try to get rid of them. Don't try to get rid of the thoughts. Don't try to get rid of the worries. Don't try to, you know, not think about them. That's not how it works. Instead, be conscious that most of the time, as long as I am awake, maybe like 90% of the time, I think about these people. 90% of the time, I have worries in my mind. That very awareness is what's important, right? So that's the way of the practice. When you have that awareness, without trying to get rid of them, one day they'll get rid of. That will happen with this awareness, but you are not trying. Trying won't do. What you have to do is that be conscious. Do your daily sitting, walking. Continue with the same practice, with the same awareness for a long, long time. When you continue for a long, long time, then one day suddenly it hits you. I used to think about these people all the time, but now I am not thinking so much. Maybe 60% of the time, I am still thinking, right? But that's 30% less. That's a huge impact, huge change, right? So that's the way, be conscious that I am always thinking. Don't try to stop it. Don't try to prevent it. Don't try to reduce it. Continue your daily sitting, walking. Continue your daily mindfulness. That way, continue for a long, long period. Right? When you continue for a long, long period, then you realize one day the things are still there, the people are still there, but I am not so much attached. Right? That's a result of consciousness, not something else. So that's the idea. Whether you love the attachment, whether you hate the attachment, still you are giving it power. The same attachment, you are giving power, whether you love it or whether you hate it. That's how most relationships are, especially romantic relationships. It's always an oscillation between love and hate. More they hate, next day more they love. Right? That's how the reality, that's how most relationships are. After that initial honeymoon phase, it's always oscillation. Love and hate, love and hate. That's it is. Right? Both are connected. That's the irony behind it. Both are connected. So the people you really hate, in a way you really love them. Maybe your enemies, still you love them. Right? So that way, be conscious. That's the idea.
Thank you, Bhante. That was interesting. That word debt, that got me thinking, a sense of urgency. Yeah, to sit on the cushion. Thank you. That was helpful. Star desire.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Samantha, and everyone who asked questions today. Any more questions? We have a few minutes. We can allow you. Chamari, feel free to unmute and ask your question.
Thank you, Sonali. Avsarai, Bhante. It was a really interesting session today. I joined halfway, but... with the feedback you were giving and the questions people were asking, I can see that, yes, my own experience is attachment isn't to be gotten rid of. What's happening is it is actually as a result of the conscious awareness of it. It's happening without having to, it's still an ongoing process, but without having to intervene, without having to actually bring a lot of effort. And the freedom of not having to generate so much energy and control and how others should be or truth is truth, what is correct is correct. They should also understand it that way. That need seemed to be reducing. And yeah, maybe I'm thinking about the recent events and the people 60% of the time, but that freedom that I feel not having to, or the peace, not having to keep doing that freedom, that peace, I keep looking for. So it really made sense in the session today when people were asking questions and, you know, this awareness, knowing how attached I may be in certain areas, and then that knowing itself, some process is happening in the background. I can't really put it into words, but the moment, every time it comes to mind again, it's at a reduced level. And then there are times I recognize people and the incidents, they're not even coming to mind. And I'm kind of free, have a sense of peace. That's what I wanted to just share.
Okay, yes. Now you see, this is not a problem only to you. It's a problem to everybody, right? Maybe we are not attached to the same person or the same things, but still all of us, we are caught, right? So that's the important thing. This is a problem of humanity. People, humans, they have this problem, right? So that way we have to make sure that in a way, we take it slow. We take our own time and somehow continue with our practice. Right? When you continue with your practice, with time, especially with such incidents happening again and again, you become much better dealing with them. You become much better letting them go. In a way, 30% is enough. Being a little free, you feel a huge difference. Maybe you have been worrying about them 90% of the time. Now 30% less. So that's a huge impact, right? So that will change, make a huge difference. You feel the freedom of not giving a shit. That freedom, you start to feel, right? So that is important. That is important. Otherwise, of course, you feel like you are doing things for them, but in a way, you are suffering. You are in pain. So what's the purpose? It won't do any good for them, or it won't do any good for you. This is the way you gradually be conscious more and more. Be conscious of your attachments. Let the thoughts be. Let the background feelings, emotions be. That's fine. That's fine. What we are doing by being conscious is that we disclaim our ownership to them. That's the idea of being conscious. Mm-hmm. When you are conscious, we are no longer the process or the emotion or the feeling or the thought. Instead, we are the observer. That's in a way, for a tiny moment, we are disclaiming the ownership to this when we are being conscious, right? So when you continue it for a long period, you start to see the impact of it. You start to see the thoughts are there, but we are not owning them. We are not trying to claim the ownership to them. The emotions are there. We are not trying to claim the ownership to them. The worldly people, they claim the ownership. They want to claim the ownership. They say that these are my thoughts. These are my emotions. I need them. That's how they react. But the meditators, in a way, they are disclaiming the ownership to these thoughts, emotions. They are in the background. So what's the issue? What's the issue? That way you have to look. That attitude you have to have. It's like white noise. White noise is there. So what's the issue? We are not trying to get rid of it. Let it be. Let it be. At times, it is intensified. At times, it is faded away. Both are fine, right? So continue this way. I am sure these recent incidents, they were a huge impact in your practice. That's why we mentioned a few weeks ago, this is an opportunity for you to, you know, develop your practice. This is a moment of satori, tiny moment of enlightenment, right? So that way we are getting deep insights into ourselves just for a few seconds, just for a moment, just for a few weeks, but still it matters a lot, right? So it'll make a huge impact, huge difference going forward. So you can be glad. I don't know whether you are ready, but you can be glad that this happened.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Much merit to you.
We do have one more raised hand. I think we're nearly running out of time, but we'll, if you can quickly ask your question, Samantha.
Sorry, Bhante. I know we're running out of time. Just quickly, it's a quick burning question that just popped up. You know when Bhante said, oh, it's just knowing and being aware, I was just thinking whether does that, how that fits same with the wise knowing plus wise reflection, that word sati and santi sampajanno. You know, how do we not have to do both the wise reflection along with the knowing, or just being the observer, it's in itself does give you the experience, through the experience, the insights. That's what I was just wondering, whether you need to do the sampajanno bit as well. That's all, Bhante.
Yeah, sati you can do intentionally. Sampajanya will come as a result of the practice. It is not, you know, reflecting like, you know, thought reflection. Insert when you go to thoughts, your mind is not shaken, right? You go to thoughts, you come back to your breath again. The mind is not shaken, the mindfulness is intact. That very idea represents that your mind is becoming wise. It's the faculty of wisdom that you're talking about. So as a result of sati, these faculties grow. They come as a result. That sampajanya, you can't practice it separately. It comes as a result of the practice. So we are becoming less stupid when we practice. Right? So that's the basic idea. That's the basic idea. Somebody was saying that few weeks ago. Somebody was saying that earlier I didn't feel this much thoughts, this many thoughts. Earlier I didn't feel so much sensations in my body. Earlier I didn't have these problems. Because of the meditation, I'm having these problems. That was the complaint. So I told that person that you were even more foolish earlier. Now still a fool, but a bit better. that's the very idea. What else you can say? So due to this wisdom faculty growing in us, we become less stupid, right? So stupidity, that's a sign that we are worrying. Stupidity is that we are having so many thoughts. Stupidity is, you know, trying to correct other people all the time. Stupidity is worrying about even the rain, nature, right? So many things that could happen. So many things that could go wrong. That's our own stupidity. Right? Some people, they even worry about rain. Not the rain in their country, it's rain in Sri Lanka. That much worrying is there in people. Right? They worry about the humanity. They worry about the wars. Right? So stupid. What else we can say? Right? Trying to correct the world. Trying to, you know, correct other people. They don't know their own capability, right? So when we practice, we become less stupid, right? That's the very idea. You can experience on your own. I too have experienced in my life. So that's how we are, right? So it's a faculty of wisdom. It comes as a result of the practice. No much thinking will do. That's the idea I want to give. So practice. Practice, practice. That's the answer.
Lovely. Thank you, Bhante. I think I finally understood sampajanna now. It's not intellectual reflection. It's through the practice, experiential reflection. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Bhante Sadhu.
Thank you to everyone who asked questions. We have run out of time today, so I will hand over to Namantha to end the session.
Thank you very much, Sonali, and much merits for conducting the Q&A session, and also much merits to Bhante. And thank you, Bhante, for excellent and insightful guidance on the reports, and also for the verbal questions towards the end. Now, our program is coming to an end. I would like to associate all the generated merits with Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for participating in today's session, dedicating Bhante's time, effort and energy. So we wish that Bhante's own practice will be positively impacted by the power of these positive, very positive merits. Furthermore, I would like to associate and share merits with the Most Venerable Bhante Udairegama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisaravanani Forest Monastery, who instructed us to initiate this program with this kind of benefit being envisioned by him himself. So we associate merits with the Chief Bhante and wish him long life and good health and also success in Chief Bhante's own pursuit of mindfulness practice. Furthermore, I would like to share and associate merits with all the wonderful organizers behind this team maintaining this program in its present condition, and putting the effort into the future work of this program. And I wish that these merits will have a good and positive impact on their own mindfulness practices as well. I would also like to thank all of you who are joining through Zoom and also who are joining through the live stream over Facebook, and would like to associate these merits with all of you and wish that your own practices will improve, and that you are summon up the courage to keep on practicing based on the learnings obtained from this program. Our program will again run next week at the same time with a new topic on the talk. And I would like to wish you a happy and mindful week ahead, and we will see you next week at the same time. I will end the Zoom session now, and thank you very much to everyone.